Sometimes at the Hardly a Whit Detective Agency, clients come to us. We usually say yes to any case that comes our way because we like eating and having money to pay the bills. Hartley likes to blow his dough on pool and baseball. I like to invest mine on pretty dresses. We had just finished up a rather easy case and began to scout around for someone who might need our services. It was a lazy afternoon at our office, and Hartley read the crime section of the Pittsburgh Press to see if anyone needed two eager private detectives to help them out of a tough jam. Listen to this, Lacey. Pittsburgh socialite Louise Van Johns involved in murder-suicide.
I thought you were looking for potential clients, not catching up on the latest scandal.
You want to hear this or not? Oh, all right. What else do I have to do? Louise Van Johns was found dead at her home with a gunshot wound to the head. The dead man beside her was notorious blackmailer Harvey Simmons. Harvey suffered a single fatal shot to the heart. It is believed that Van Johns then turned the gun on herself, ending what looks to be a years-long financial arrangement. The husband of Louise, Frank Van Johns, was out of town at the time of the murder-suicide. Police Sergeant Morelli believes it's an open and shut case.
Where have we heard that before?
Right? Funeral services are for family and close friends only. The family is asking for privacy at this time. So, Louise Van Johns was not as squeaky clean as the society page led us to believe. I wonder what she was being blackmailed for. It doesn't say, but whatever it was, it drove her to end it all. Well, that is a tragedy. I'll get that. Come in.
Geez, Hardly. I could have done that. You're supposed to open the door and greet the client, not yell it out like you're in a pool hall, remember?
How do you do, sir? I'm Hardly Whit. What can I do for you today? Is that better, Lacey?
I'm Frank Van Johns. I wonder if you can help me.
We're sorry for your loss, Mr. Van Johns.
I'm Lacey Stocking, the other half of the Whit Agency.
Please, take a seat. How can we help? I suppose you've read the papers about my wife. May she rest in peace. Well, I want to find who was responsible for this.
Did you have any idea your wife was being blackmailed?
No. Whatever was going on in her life, she kept very quiet about it. I want to know who pushed her this far. I want to know who the mastermind is behind this scheme.
Have you talked to the police?
Yes. But I was told there were other cases ahead of mine. That's why I'm here. I don't want to wait. I want to know who's behind this and bring them to justice. No one should have to come home from a business trip to this.
We completely understand. Our fee is $25 a day plus expenses.
That's fine. I'll write you a check for $100, say, because I have a feeling this is going to take a while.
Well, then that'll be swell. Have you had a chance to go through your wife's personal belongings?
Like letters and such?
Not yet.
I'm almost afraid to. If Louise was being blackmailed, I may not like what I find.
We didn't always consult with Sergeant Morelli when we took on a new case, but with this one, the police were sure to have more information than we had. As private detectives, we were good at digging for dirt, but sometimes it was nice to have a bigger shovel, and Morelli was our man. What was your impression of Frank Van Johns?
Ah, about what I expected from a distraught husband. Although, I hate when you do that. I can't put my finger on it. Some fellas just have an edge to their voice. He seemed angry about something.
Something other than his wife being dead because she was being blackmailed?
Exactly. Anyway, why are you asking about Van Johns? The case is closed as far as I'm concerned.
He came to us asking for our help because
I wouldn't, right?
Right. We're going forward with our own investigation and you want me to give you a leg up.
Hey, we're getting good at this back and forth thing.
I can show you the crime scene photos.
Prepare yourself, Miss Stocking. It ain't pretty. Powder burns on her right temple. Exit wound there. It looks like she had a drink right before she pulled the trigger on herself. Harvey Simmons, the notorious blackmailer, with a record longer than my arm, took one to the heart. Same gun for both shots, a .38. I'm sure you dusted the glass for Prince? I'll try not to take that personally, but yes. As usual, you did a thorough job, but he is our client and wants us to find who is the mastermind behind all this. He wants justice for his wife.
I don't know what else I can tell you. Harvey Simmons was a small-time criminal who managed to stay out of our way. Louise Van Johns was a socialite who, from what I've heard, had a colorful history. Maybe start there. Frank Van Johns might be disappointed to know there was no mastermind. Simmons probably, more than likely, acted alone. Whatever he had on her must have been pretty juicy, scandalous even. Did she have a will?
No, which seems careless for someone that wealthy. But her husband is the beneficiary on the life insurance, which isn't much after funeral expenses and whatever savings she had. He's not exactly hurting for bread, you know.
Okay, well, it sounds like this might be a head-scratcher, but we got our retainer, so at least the lights will stay on for another month.
Does Louise have any family nearby?
Let me see. She has a sister, a Gladys Moore, who lives in Greentree. Here's the address. Not sure how much good it'll do you.
Why?
She spends more time in the bars than she does at home. Good luck, and keep me informed, will ya?
Greentree was far enough away that we could use Hardley's car, and since we had just received a hefty retainer from our new client, we could afford gasoline, and so we filled up the tank and headed out. We got lost a few times, but eventually we found the humble home of Gladys Moore. After a long minute of knocking, a haggard woman, still dressed in her nightclothes, stumbled to the door, shielding her eyes from the sun with her hand.
"What do you want? If this is about my sister, go away and leave me alone."
"I'm Lacey Stocking, and this is my partner, Hardley Witt, and we're from the Hardley A. Witt Detective Agency. I know you're probably tired of talking about your sister, but we would like your help in finding who did this to her."
"It's obvious who did this to her, you idiots."
"Oh, dear, is this $10 I found on the porch yours?"
"If I answer your questions, will you promise to go away and never come back?"
"We promise."
"Bring the $10 that fell out of my purse last night in with you and close the door." "Thank you."
"Excuse the mess. I would offer you something to drink, but I drank everything in the house."
"We're sorry for your—" "Don't do that. Me and Louise haven't spoken in years, little social climbing snob. No loss. So, what do you want to know?"
I can see you're busy, so I'll cut to the chase. Do you know why she was being blackmailed?"
"I just told you I haven't spoken to her in years. But that doesn't mean I haven't heard some things. Cigarette?"
No, thanks. What have you heard?"
"I dropped $5 on the floor last night, too. Do you see it anywhere?"
Uh-huh.
"Thank you. I heard there are pictures of Louise and a certain prominent steel tycoon caught in the act, if you catch my meaning."
"Got it. Do you know if this person was being blackmailed, too?"
"That I don't know."
"If they were extorting your sister, who didn't really have much to lose, I would imagine a businessman would have more to lose."
"You're right. What's a woman's reputation compared to a man's career?"
"Touché." I didn't mean it that way."
"Yeah, I'm just joshing you. He died last year of a heart attack."
"Oh."
"That's all I know. Sorry to disappoint you."
What do you know of the husband?
I only met him once, at the wedding. Unremarkable. I stopped talking to Louise not long after. She had her life, and as you can see from this dump, I have mine. I married for love, you see. Love don't pay the bills, sister, that's for sure. Anything else? I have to wash my stockings before work.
I guess that's it. Thanks for your help.
$15 poorer. There goes groceries for the month. Hardley and I drove back to the office. Lois, the switchboard operator, met us in the hallway outside the door.
Hello, Mr. Witt.
Hi, Lois. Can I help you?
A Frank Van John's called. He said to call him at this number as soon as you get in.
Thanks, Lois.
Yes, thanks. That'll be all, Lois.
I better call him now. What's for lunch? I'm starving.
Mr. Van John's, Hardley Witt, what can I do for you?
Someone called me demanding money to keep my wife's secret.
Who? Do you know?
He didn't say, but he wants to meet at the Mon Wharf tonight to initiate my first payment.
The wharf? Where at the wharf?
He said he'll find me and just bring the money.
Sounds like a setup to me.
Look, I figure this is a way to get justice for my wife. I need to put a face to this madness, but I need you as backup.
This is a matter for the police, not private detectives.
No, leave them out of this. They might just scare him off. I want to know what he had on my wife and why he thinks he can bleed me dry like he did her.
Oh, what time?
9:30. Will you be there?
Sure, chum.
You look like you've just seen a ghost. Bad news.
Frank Van Johns is meeting with the person behind all this extortion business. At least he thinks so. They're meeting at the Mon Wharf tonight and he wants us as backup.
Why not just call Morelli and his men? We don't have that kind of firepower to protect him. What the hell?
He thinks the police will just scare the man off. So, do we alert Morelli or not?
This sounds too much like a trap.
We'll go, but let him handle the transaction. I just don't feel right not telling Morelli. He'll wring our necks if we don't.
Van Johns is paying us, so...
That doesn't make it right.
Spoken like a former cop. Let's get ready. At 9:30 at night on a Wednesday, the Mon Wharf was empty. There were a few cars parked here and there, but it was dark, lonely, with the only sound coming from the city and the Monongahela River. Frank Van John spotted us first.
I didn't think you'd come. Do you know who you're dealing with? No. He didn't leave a name or anything. It's almost time. I'm going to hang out in the open. Why don't you hide behind a car or a telephone pole? Wish me luck.
Yeah, good luck. Is it me, or does he seem in high spirits for someone who's about to face the person behind all this mess?
Nerves, probably. Let's go. Gun ready?
Loaded, safety off. Hardley didn't want to split up, so we ducked down on the other side of his car, waiting, listening. Within a few minutes, we heard a steady gait of footsteps, followed by two deep voices mumbling. I held my breath so I could hear better, but couldn't hear a thing over the sound of the nearby river. I looked to Hardley. He shrugged. Frank Van Johns lay on the pavement, writhing in pain. He had been shot in the leg. His gun was still in his hand, aiming at the other man who had run off into the night.
Get him! I'm paying you, aren't I?
Hardley took off after the guy, while I kneeled down beside Van Johns.
What on earth were you thinking making this arrangement? Whose gun is this?
Stop!
or I'll shoot.
Did you get him?
I ran over to Hardly, who stood over the body on the pavement, pistol still pointed, the smell of gunpowder hanging heavy in the air. With what little light the street lamps gave off, I recognized his face almost immediately from one of the many pictures of criminals hanging on the walls at the police station. He was the boss of one of the biggest extortion rings in the city, yet somehow he always flew low enough under the radar to avoid capture. I knelt down and put my finger to his neck.
Is he dead? Is he dead?
He's not very dead. We better call Morelli and for an ambulance. Frank Van Johns and the notorious Rick the Salamander Evans were taken to the hospital for treatment. Frank would survive, but the doctors didn't know if the salamander would. Then there was the legal mess that Van Johns now found himself in, not to mention Hardly and me. We met with Morelli to smooth things over and talk about the case, but mostly to smooth things over.
You two are smarter than this, especially you, Wit. And you call yourself a former cop. What were you thinking?
We were hired.
Save it. Ugh, the two of you are going to drive me to drink.
Van Johns was sure interested if the salamander was shot dead. But then again, what would I do if I was being blackmailed? Where did he get the gun?
Jenkins finally got it out of him that he purchased it that morning.
What?
I kept getting the feeling that this was a trap, but I thought maybe the blackmailer was setting it. What if it was Van Johns who had arranged the meeting? Louise's sister, Gladys, said that there were pictures of her sister and a prominent businessman caught in the act of, you know. If I were a man, I would do just about anything to get those pictures out of circulation, even shooting someone. Out of jealousy, out of embarrassment, bruised ego.
Once Van Johns is feeling better, we'll have to have a little chit-chat to go over all the details. In the meantime, I'll mull over what I'm going to do with the both of you.
We were just trying to protect our client.
Save it.
Can I see the crime scene photo again?
Ugh. If you really want to. Here, what are you thinking?
The glass is still in her hand. Her right hand? I'm assuming she's right-handed.
The fingerprints indicated she was.
The bullet hole is in her right temple. How can she hold a glass and pull the trigger of a gun at the same time?
Boy, howdy, Lacey. You've done it now.
Hardly, Morelli, and I paid old Frank Van Johns a little visit in the hospital, since he had nothing better to do because of his bum leg. But not before we spoke to the salamander himself, who really should have changed his name to the Canary, because he sang like one. Morelli asked me to do the talking first because he seemed to think I had a way of softening people up in some way. It's a shame about your leg.
Olive. I was already dealing with an old football injury anyway, so what's another ache and pain, right?
I guess Morelli should thank you for bringing the salamander down.
Morelli's been after him for years. I suppose. When you say down, do you mean down, down?
As in dead?
Oh, no, he'll live. In fact, the man is raring to go.
Although he won't be going farther than the county jail, but...
Oh, well, that's good, I suppose.
He's a talkative little man, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah?
Do you want to know what he had to say?
Not particularly. You sure? It might be of interest to you. Oh, how so?
The salamander says that this meeting was your idea.
Nonsense. He telephoned me.
According to him, you wanted to meet with him not because he was going to blackmail you now that your wife is gone, but because he knew that you and Harvey Simmons had a certain arrangement concerning your wife.
What?
See, here's how I think things went down. You knew that your wife was cheating on you long ago. You knew the who and the where, and you knew there was photographic evidence. It must have been a huge blow to your ego.
You wanted Louise to suffer as payback, so you concocted a scheme with Harvey where he would extort money from her and you would take half. It was one way to keep her in line, I guess.
You have some imagination, Miss Stocking. That's ludicrous. But wait, there's more.
You watched her slowly grow more and more melancholy the more money you took from her. She drank more, she quit going out with her friends except for business dinners and charity events, until she finally broke. You broke her. She pulled the trigger on Harvey because she couldn't take it anymore, which is a very convenient way to get rid of your accomplice, I might add. And then you shot her.
That's absurd. Why would I kill my wife? I loved her.
I don't doubt that, but that didn't stop you from killing her. She humiliated you, and there were pictures.
That doesn't make any sense.
Sure it does. She had a drink in her hand, her right hand, and couldn't have shot herself. She had to have had help. It was your final act of revenge.
Are you listening to this, Sergeant Morelli? This is the second time I heard it, actually. The first time I heard it came from the salamander himself. You see, he wasn't about to go down for something he didn't do. He wasn't blackmailing you. You made that up. But you knew that he knew about your little arrangement with Harvey.
And you had to get rid of him, or he could expose you. That's why you called us. You wanted us to be there to act as a witness to you shooting him in self-defense, or, if that didn't work, one of us would take him down if things got out of hand. You took a huge gamble, Mr. Van Johns. He could have killed you easily.
You're going to take the word of some common criminal over the word of an upstanding tax-paying citizen? What is this city coming to?
The truth will come out sooner or later, maybe at your murder trial. See you in the funny papers, Mr. Van Johns.
Can we buy you a beer, Morelli?
Nah, I have to get home to the wife.
Come on, let's celebrate.
It's getting harder and harder for me to celebrate putting criminals away.
Okay, you talked me into it. You're buying, Witt.